It is Friday, 84 right now. This weekend, this Sunday, the 23rd, marks the 50th anniversary of the Detroit riots. And my next guest knows a lot about it. Thomas Segru is here, author of The Origins of the Urban Crisis, Race and Inequality in Postwar Detroit. He grew up in Detroit. Thomas, great to have you on WILS.
Great to be back.
Yeah, and now, when were you growing up in the city of Detroit?
I grew up in Detroit in the 1960s, and actually the second day of the Detroit riot of 67 coincided with my fifth birthday, so I was a kid.
Really? And do you remember it at all?
I do. One of my most vivid childhood memories was walking out of my house and looking down to Stengel Avenue, which was about a half a block away, and seeing the parade of National Guard vehicles, Jeeps, personnel carriers, and the like. A pretty exciting sight for a five-year-old boy.
Hmm. And what did your family do after the riots? Did you move or anything like that?
My family moved out of Detroit in the early to mid-70s, so not immediately after 1967. In fact, in 1970, they welcomed the first African-American family to our block. She was a school teacher. He was a Detroit cop. And their three sons attended the same Catholic school that I attended on the city's west side.
Thomas Segru here on WILS. His book is The Origins of the Urban Crisis. And you say that the housing, the racial decisions based on housing played a key role in what happened in Detroit. How so?
Oh, absolutely. Detroit was an intensely racially segregated city, and there wasn't a free market in housing for African Americans. They were confined to certain sections of the city, those that were being left behind by whites. And when blacks did move into white neighborhoods in Detroit between the 40s and the 60s, I found in my research more than 200 violent incidents, vandalism, window breaking, stone throwing, physical attacks by whites against the first African Americans to move onto their blocks.
So you're saying it was a common practice back then?
It was. Whites organized pretty intensively in the post-Second World War II years in Detroit to try to keep their neighborhoods all white.
Okay. Now, in terms of the black population, how quickly was that growing in Detroit?
It was growing really rapidly. The auto industry began recruiting African Americans in World War II to work in the auto industry, and Detroit became a magnet for folks who were fleeing the system of Jim Crow segregation in the South. And so the black population was about 16% in 1950. It was about 45% in 1970.
And you say there was actually an effort to have these low-density neighborhoods, right? There was actually an effort to do that in Detroit?
Most of Detroit was low-density neighborhoods. You know, it's a city of the auto industry and single-family detached homes. And so that definitely gives Detroit's geography, makes it really distinct compared to, I don't know, New York or Philadelphia or Boston.
Very spread out. And what about the black residents? What were their neighborhoods like then?
Well, black residents mostly moved into, because they didn't have free choice in the city's housing market, to places that had become unfashionable among whites, places with older housing stock, often 19th-century neighborhoods that had inexpensively built wood frame houses, working-class sections of the city, and parts of the city where houses were being converted by their owners into apartments that were often quite profitable for landlords.
And in your view, Thomas, what was the real cause then of the riot? What was the underlying issue there?
Well, one of the biggest issues that played out in the 1950s and 1960s was intense hostility between the city's white police force. It was 95% white in 1967, the police force, in a city that was almost 45% black. A lot of hostility. I went through records from city records and civil rights organization records from the 40s and 50s and found again and again complaints about harassment of black folks by police, usually because they were in, quote-unquote, the wrong neighborhood. That is, a black person walking, riding a bicycle, or driving through a predominantly white section of the city would ordinarily be stopped by the police. And that generated a lot of resentment because of the kind of the dehumanization of folks, you know, who ought to have in a free society, had the right to be wherever they wanted to be.
So after the riots, then what really happened in Detroit? What changed at that point?
Well, there was a paradoxical kind of twofold situation. On one hand, city officials and a lot of civic elites, business leaders, began, in many respects, for the first time to pay attention to the economic and housing problems of African Americans in the city. So there were a lot of money and energy put into, say, job training programs for young African American men who were disproportionately represented in those who took to the streets in 67. So that was an important part of the story. The other is that there were growing calls, especially among white Detroiters, for law and order politics and a crackdown on what they saw as the unrest in the city streets. And there was a real intensification of policing and, at the same time, an intensification of imprisonment. So that's a really important story in Detroit in the post-1967 years.
Really? In the white flight, how fast did that accelerate after the riots?
You know, it didn't accelerate that much. It had been going on pretty steadily since the end of World War II. Whites were leaving in part because they were fleeing the African-American population, in part because they had good wages in the auto industry. It was unionized. They had good benefits, and they could afford houses in rapidly developing suburban neighborhoods. And so white flight picked up a little bit in the years immediately following the riot, but essentially the pattern was pretty much steady decline of the white population beginning in the late 40s, early 50s, and steady increase in the African-American population
in that same period. You had racial issues, though, in all kinds of American cities. Was it any more intense in Detroit?
Detroit was maybe one of the more extreme versions of a pattern that played out pretty much in every northeastern and midwestern city. Mm-hmm. Housing segregation was pretty much universal in the North and in the Midwest. Racial discrimination in the workplace was pretty universal, and intense hostility between African Americans and mostly white police was a story that played out in the streets of Newark, of Philadelphia, of Watts, Los Angeles, of Harlem, all the cities that exploded in 67.
Thomas, do you believe that even back then the trajectory of where Detroit was heading was already written in stone there?
Well, yes. I mean, I think a lot of the big changes, the flight of industry, suburbanization, intense racial segregation, those were already well in place by 1967, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there were, you know, 67 maybe put an exclamation point on those processes, but it wasn't the beginning for sure.
Yeah, in the progression since then, that was all inevitable somehow too?
Well, there were, you know, moments along the way when a different path could be taken. For example, you know, there were efforts in the 1970s and 1980s to try to attract new industry to the city. It's a hard battle to fight, but that was one. I think there's also one other story to be told, which is that in the post-1967 years, African Americans in Detroit made some big gains, mostly in two sectors of the economy. Hospitals and health, which stayed in the city, major hospitals didn't flee to the suburbs, and increasingly, those jobs were open to African Americans at every level, from orderlies and nurses up to doctors. And that was a pretty big avenue for advancement. And the other was public sector employment, which became, you know, which had been dominated by whites. But by the 70s and 80s, African Americans were getting representation in the police force and the fire department among the city's teachers. And that created real opportunities for the creation of a black middle class.
Thomas Segrew, author of The Origins of the Urban Crisis, Race and Inequality in Post-War Detroit. Thomas Segrew, right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
Yep, and this weekend, of course, marks the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the 67 Detroit riots.